WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into the holiday spirit. I'm going to be singing all sorts of Christmas carols and Christmas tunes. 30 years! My 30th anniversary is the 13th of December. We'll be celebrating beginning on the 9th at the Beaumont in the Ville over in 21228. All of it brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. I wore this mask with Mayor Brandon Scott last week at Coco's. We were up in Bel Air in Abingdon with Harford County Executive Barry Glassman talking to him about running for controller. And this week we will have Mike Bourne join us at Pappas on Friday for crab cakes and fun. And also Jim Rees will be joining us from Offutt Kerman, as well as Leonard Raskin from Raskin Global, who gave me some advice now that I'm moving and I'm selling my place. Barry Glassman wanted me to move up to Havre de Grace. I'm going to have Calvin Ball want me to move to Columbia. This guy's going to try to talk me into moving out to Parma or I can name any of those crazy suburbs, West Lake. You know, I got a lot of friends out there trying to get me to come out early and hang out. Mark Munch Bishop's been doing sports radio. I say 30 years. He's like, I got socks older than you, kid, out there in the land of Cleve. Dude, you're one of the guys. I said to my wife this morning, I'm drinking my Royal Farms coffee out of my coal roofing mug here this morning. It's a little tattered, as is the Ravens offense as well. I said to my wife, man, you know, Munch is texting me like real sports stuff, like we're pals, like he's interested in the game last night. Like, and I'm like, I just got to book him on the show because like I'm worn out after being up all night, out early. And you still want to talk more about this Ravens Browns game. So here we are, man. Welcome in. It's always good to see you, my friend.
Well, it's a pleasure. And I appreciate you. You joined me over the weekend in Cleveland on WTAM 1100. Here's what's crazy though, too, Nestor, is I asked you this because I can guarantee you this for a fact. And what could you say? A reality is a reality. But had the Browns won that game, that would not have been the biggest story for the most of the fans. I call them the rabble. They're the same ones that set Barabbas free, okay, and had somebody else nailed to a cross. The rabble would be screaming and yelling about four picks for Baker Mayfield. I perused quite a bit of Baltimore media this morning, and don't get me wrong, you all do not shove things under the rug. You know, you're saying, hey, these four interceptions were not good. However, the team wins ugly. The team wins games that they have to win. The defense was great against the run again. You've got a kicker that if it comes down to him, you're going to win football games. And you know what? I was pleasantly surprised. You know, I'm a big fan of your cities too, that was the main story. But I guarantee you this, the main story today would not have been the Browns winning, would have been Baker throwing four picks to get rid of them. So, you know, kudos to you, and I salute you and the media.
Oh,
and the
well, look, man, I don't know. I don't take phone calls for a living anymore. I stopped doing that years ago because of this very reason, because bingo. I literally at 53, you know, after watching my wife almost die twice and being further along in life's journey and losing my mother and losing a cat I loved, that just like what's important and what's not. And for me to sit around for 40 hours this week and bitch about Lamar's four interceptions, I mean, they're 8-3. Do I think they're fortunate? Absolutely. I'm more interested actually in talking about the Steelers this week or talking about this Bengals game that's coming up the day after Christmas. I don't have a flight. I'm not thinking like the Bengals game is going to be the game, but they certainly have appointed themselves well. And I think if there's anything we know about this division, and you and I have been at this a long time, and now that the Browns are better and the Steelers are worse or whatever it is, beware. Beware, because the Ravens are going up to Pittsburgh this week, smelling themselves, feeling like, ah, well, look at Ben. They were awful last week against the Bengals and all that. I promise you, Tomlin will have a poop burger waiting for the Ravens in the same way that 2 weeks from now, whatever happened on Sunday night, we're going to be coming out there, and it's going to be woof, 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 and Drew Carey, and Cleveland rocks, and God bless Michael Stanley, and like all of that. And the Ravens are going to have their work cut out for them, and they're going to have to tackle Chubb all over again, and they're going to have to figure it out all over again defensively. I was impressed by the Ravens' ability to stop the run. I was kind of impressed by Baker Mayfield, quite frankly. I mean, he's a gamer of a guy, John Wayne-ing around and limping around and all of that. The Ravens came closer to losing and not playing well on Sunday night than I could sit here and bitch about it all week, but they're injured, they're tattered, they're battered, and they're the number one seed in the AFC North right now. I don't know how that's going to age over the next 6 weeks because they got six like really tough ball games ahead. There's no more Jacksonville in the schedule. There's no more Jets. There's no more of this nonsense. All of these games are tough. And now the Ravens have to go up to Pittsburgh after dark and then out to Cleveland after dark and win games in the division when it's cold out. And these 2 weeks will tell a lot about the Ravens if they're coming back here at 8-5 and worried in 2 weeks.
You know, it's interesting, too, because you mentioned the Steelers, this quote-unquote bad Steelers team. Well, what did they do to the Cleveland Browns in Cleveland? They won. They won. So you're right. Anything can happen at any time. And look at the Bengals, the unstoppable Bengals. Well, the Browns put a beating on them. So you go figure it out. It's called football. It's called adjusting. It's called who wants it more on that certain day. And you saw that. You know, I don't know if the Bengals were full of themselves when the Browns went down to Cincinnati and just handed it to them. But the bottom line is this, too, Nestor. That has been the problem with the Browns for number one. Guys being full of themselves, but being put on that pedestal by the fan base. I mean, they were talking Super Bowl in August, and it makes me cringe. I don't even want to talk playoffs in August. I want to talk, let's win a game, then win the next game, and win the next game. People say, Munch, you're boring. No, I'm a realist, okay? I know what's going on. But it's funny because after the beatdown by New England, what was the first thing Anthony Walker, and he had a great game yesterday, and so did JOK. But the first thing Anthony Walker said after the Browns were destroyed by New England was, now remember, we're a playoff team. Pardon me, hold on. Is there something in my ears? That is the mindset of this team. And, you know, it's dangerous, and you saw it again yesterday. You saw drop passes. You thought Baker played decent. I did too. Can't let the ball fall out of his hand on that one time. Play calling, going to a wildcat when you've got a rhythm and going downfield, to me, is horrendous.
Any time I'm seeing wide receivers throwing the football, I always think to myself, well, that's great if it goes everybody's head and you're celebrating a minute from now. If it doesn't work, what are you doing? I mean, this is right. Why you pay the quarterback. This is where Flacco got sideways with Lamar Jackson a couple of years ago. Sort of like, look, if you want him to play, let him play. But we're not gonna, we can't play that way. That he called it high school ball, and I'm like, yeah. my old guy here, Charlie Ekman, and your old guy Pete Franklin would say, you're getting too cute out there.
Right. Just play football, okay? Run it between the tackles and throw some passes. Something else, if you noticed yesterday, and again, receiving core Browns-wise, and I mentioned the drops, unbelievable drops, okay? That some of them were drive breakers. Some of them at the end of the game, Austin Hooper's was crushing. There were also guys running two fly patterns on the same side of the field. Well, guess what, Nestor? That's not going to work because you're going to have four defensive backs over there on two guys running the same pattern. So there was a lot of that going on, too. I mean, the defense played hard, but hard was not good enough to get to Lamar on occasions, and hard wasn't good enough to leave Mark Andrews wide open in the end zone for your touchdown.
Mark Munch Bishop is my dude. Tell everybody what you do, because you hit me like Saturday night. Look, I love you, man. I'll come on with you anytime. You want to talk baseball, whatever, like, you know that, right? I mean, we're like friends in the real world. And you hit me on Saturday, you're like, hey, will you come on? And I'm like, yeah. And then I wound up, much, I don't watch a lot of college football. I'm in Maryland, right? I mean, I barely
watch.
I've kind of moved beyond sports. I'm doing a whole lot of other things and building my business. And I talk to, governors and mayors and political people and hospital presidents. I do a lot of different stuff, but college football was so good on Saturday. And, I go way back with Jim Harbaugh. Like Jim and I have always gotten on great. Jim and I shared beers together. Jim and I are sort of the same age. He came here in the September of his years and wanted to be shown around a little bit. And then John shows up. I was always closer with Jim than I've ever been with John. And I like John,
really?
Fine. Mm-hmm. So I have a soft spot for Jim. And to some degree, and the fact that he's never won. So that goes on. And then you hit me. And, like, the Iron Bowl's going on, like, and we all saw how that turned out, and I hate Alabama. Everybody knows that, right? So it was a great day of college football, and you called me, like, right in the middle of this Ohio State thing that happened in your place. You want to talk like Browns with me, and I'm like –
Well, I gave Ohio State an hour because, I know it's Cleveland. I know it's still Ohio, but people still look at the Buckeyes for the most part as second-class citizens, okay? And had the game gone differently because it was a very, very ugly football game. I was painful enough. Actually, before you, talking about good company you were in, you were in. I had a couple of former Ohio State quarterbacks, Greg Fry and Stanley Jackson, that also had Aaron Shea, the pride of the U of M and the pride of the Browns, on too. So we got through that. But again, this is Brownstown. And sadly, when it's 0-16, it's still Brownstown. When it was 7-4, they turned it to 7-9, it's still Brownstown. People, are they fools or are they loyal? A little bit of each.
Well, look, man, I would say for you and all that you've been through, and this would be for me, like Luke and I got into it in the press box with masks on because Ryan Mountcastle came out and said, Ryan Mountcastle can walk through this stadium tonight in front of every Ravens fan and no one would know who he is. Like, they just wouldn't. And Luke's like, he got a nice ovation. I'm like, tell him to take his mask off and we'll just walk around the upper deck and we'll see how many people yell at him and yell at me. Because I've been doing this for 30 years. You know, how many people know my name or his name? Mm-hmm. And that's disgusting for them, not for me, right? But right. I know what it's like to suck, right? I mean, they lost 107 this year. 115, 110, 107, and the only reason there wasn't 100 is because there was a plague. My father would lose his mind if he came back about that. So, and they're going to lose 100 again next year. So,
wow, I would just look forward to, huh?
No, but when it's bad, it's really bad. I just want to speak to you because listen. Last week, I would have said, how's Chubb running the ball? Should Case Keenum play? Remember the time he came out of the tree and beat our ass in Houston? Like, we have a thing with Case Keenum here. He's beaten us in a couple of big games, right?
Stefanski should have known that.
Well, he probably does. But
I wonder.
But either way, I'm not pinning anything on Baker Mayfield. I pin it on the fact that the Ravens stopped the run and defended well, and the fact that the Browns dropped key passes.
Thank you.
I mean, like, literally, if the Browns catch the ball, the Ravens probably lose. If the Browns kick or kicks the kick, the Browns probably win, right? So, I mean, but either way, if I talked to you last week, we're doing all the preview stuff. You saw it. I saw it. There's no, you know, preview on any of this. Expectations for the Browns for where it was for so many years for you and where it's been lately, that it's tremendously disappointing when they come in here and they pee down their leg and they don't win when they're good enough. I mean, the Ravens were there for the picking. I mean, literally four pickings, right?
Well, there's no doubt.
Yeah, I mean, and I think there's something about football in your town when you talk about it. One of the reasons you ditch Ohio State after they finally lose to Michigan and talk Browns is because there is some real hope in this Browns team and – there was some real threat in this Browns team on Sunday night when the game's 6-3, and here we go again, and the Ravens go 3-and-out in the fourth quarter when they're built to, like, not do that and giving the ball back and forth. You know, I'm not shocked the Ravens won, but I am sort of shocked that the Browns aren't better. And that's – I just stand on the outside of that. And I think they will be better 2 weeks from now. I think the Ravens will have their hands full out there.
Well, you know, the Browns will have to be better 2 weeks from now. But let me ask you this. When everything is said and done, is this a matter then of coaching? And I'm not talking just head coach, but coordinators too, because you just noted the Browns needed to have a better showing than they did yesterday. Now, coaches aren't going to help guys catch balls, but coaching is going to keep 12 men from being on the field, okay? There's times where this offense has had shades and defense with too many men on or illegal formations. Has had shades of Freddie Kitchens, which was horrific. You're talking 18 penalties a game, okay? Freddie was a pretty good coordinator with Baker. That's how he got promoted. But those things are supposed to have ended with Kevin Stefanski. And sadly, Nestor, they have not ended. And some of those things are crushing. You saw the 12 men on the field yesterday after a timeout. Think about that. After a timeout, you got to put that right on the guys in charge on coaching. So there's no doubt Harbaugh has the checkmate over Stefanski. And if it comes down to those two again in 2 weeks, who knows what's going to happen?
Look, man, I could talk about the Orioles sucking and their incredibly, you know, non-existent ownership here and all. And I don't even bleed on about these 100. I mean, if I sat here all summer and that's the only thing I talked about, I'd lose my mind, right? I rarely talk about it. I go out of my way to not talk about it. But in your town – and you talk about the differences between the Ravens and the Browns. I would say part of it's the laundry, and I think that's coming to life in New England right now, right? Like, that laundry's come back to life like Yankees or Dodgers laundry comes back to life. Even the Giants, baseball Giants laundry came back to life this year. I would say there's something about the ownership there, right, where even 3 weeks ago, had we played you guys Halloween week, the story would have been that circus clown that y'all imported in from New Jersey, and you were going to get him to walk in line. And that's – and I literally, when they were on the goal line, I was in the press box with Luke, and I'm like – man, it wasn't that long ago that my boy Pettin was running this and Johnny Manziel, you know, like total circus act, right? And you guys have been being so bad and picking players and picking ones. And I ran into George Koukinas three times last night, go in the bathroom, in the lounge. He ran your place for a minute. Phil Savage ran your place for 5 minutes. I'm thinking about all the people that I know that ran your place that aren't even, you know, Butch Davis or like all of these names and quarterbacks and people. And I don't know where Baker Mayfield is in all this when he's John Wayne and out there. But I do know that, you know, the organization has such an incredible fan base. There's expectation now from people like you. I don't know if it's ever better run with the creeps that own the team, sort of in how it bleeds down to the fact that they were still getting rid of the wet boogie of Odell Beckham Jr. like 15 minutes ago. And, you know, Conklin, that was such a – God, that was awful to watch, you know, like the things that are happening to the team.
Yeah.
It feels a little Charlie Brown, you know, black cloud a little bit. And that's an ownership issue for me that still goes back to I see Garrett running around. I see good football players running around, some of them injured and whatnot. But I do wonder who's running the place. I always wonder that in Cleveland.
Well, you know what? Number one, if Jimmy Haslam is still running it as it looks like he has stepped to the side, then there's big, big trouble. There's big, big problems with this team because fish too smell from the head down, and that is a saying that goes back.
Well, who is running it? And the guy was looking for Paul DePodesta the other night. He's an old buddy.
Please. You know what? That's all we need is a baseball hack, and that is part of the problem with this team because you know what? So many of the plays are called via analytics. Nestor, I am not anti-progress, okay? But you know what my analytics for football is and for the better coaches? They're here. They're in my eyes. A little bit of heart. Little bit of guts, okay? Get rid of the analytics when it comes to drafting players, or you'll have more Corey Coleman's, that was a DePodesta pick, or Cody Kessler's, or you're going to have more play calling like you saw with the Wildcat coming in. Andrew, it's supposed to be a consortium, okay, between Andrew Berry, DePodesta, and Kevin Stefanski. And right there, Andrew Berry does seem to have put the right players on defense. At times, we weren't sure the way they were playing. They played pretty dang good yesterday. And the bottom line is that when you look at it, I'm questioning, too, is the fingerprint, is Jimmy Haslam still lurking there in the meeting rooms? Because he is not supposed to be. And if he is, then that's big, big trouble, big, big problems for this team.
Yeah, I saw Tomlin back on the trading deadline have that press conference, and I'm like, and I love Tomlin, right? Like, I mean, we're boys.
You and me both.
And I haven't seen him or talked to him. I saw he's gone bald, got the beard rolling out, like all that. And obviously got a lot of problems here this week as we come to town, none the least of which is me. But he said, we want volunteers here, not hostages, right? And in the case of Beckham Jr. and where they are, in addition by subtraction and stuff like that, there is this thing in Cleveland where splashy, they're always trying to sell tickets, and nothing sells tickets quite like just winning, right? If they could just win, and I know they've done a little bit of that lately, it you know, like Baker Mayfield doing all these television commercials. Dude, I want to hate him, and I watched him run around the other night, and I'd hate him if he beat our ass a little bit more. If he started beating us, I wouldn't like him. I don't like Andy Dalton, and he seems like a nice fellow, but he beats us too much. But in the Baker Mayfield thing, he's such a larger than life and like all of that, and that just feels so Dan Snyder, Jim Haslam playbook on how to lose.
Well, you know what, number one, popular figures in the community. You're saying, is Baker really that popular? They do TV commercials. They do radio commercials. We know about endorsers and influencers. You and I are endorsers and influencers for thing. He's on a different level. Okay, so you've got that going for you there too. But you just mentioned, and I was one of the ones until the dad videos of a teammate of Odell Beckham Jr., I always felt the team was better with him. How could it not be? When you over, he's going to run wrong routes. If you saw the Rams, his first game, the third route he ran, led to an interception, and Matthew Stafford pointed it out to him. Had a decent game yesterday for the Rams. How could a team not be better with him? However, there's a lot of me on this team too, okay? Jarvis Landry came out the week after OBJ was gone and said, you know what? I only had one catch last week. What's going on here? You don't usually hear things like that from a cohesive team, a team that's together. You have it in Joku. Who, like,
well, especially when the locker room's not even open. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. there's nothing to unearth. When the guy's father's putting videos out, that's an effed up organization to me. And, you know, on the backside of watching them play on Sunday night and drop balls and, like, all of that, I worry that the whole thing's built on a house of cards and you're not still the Bengals to some degree. Like, and I think that there's a measurement period here for Stefanski and all of that, but they're not passing the test right now because they certainly were built to be better than a very diminished Ravens team on Sunday night, and they weren't.
The house of cards is obvious. You saw it yesterday. You saw it in a few other games, too. Against the Bengals and Cincinnati, I keep bringing that back because that was a brilliant game. Did they build on that? Absolutely not. When they got beat by the New England Patriots, that was the house of cards, too. I don't know what Stefanski is doing. Like the guy, coaching here last year, much as he deteriorated that much. I will tell you this, too, Nestor, and I am on record, so I'm not saying get rid of the guy now. He wasn't my choice. Because I saw Robert Saleh of San Francisco hand him his hat in the playoffs. And guess what? Stefanski did not make adjustments from the first half to the second half. Tried to run the exact same things. There's some robotic nature to him, and some of it's analytics robotic nature to him. Some of the calls he makes are unbelievable. You've got, it didn't happen yesterday in pass games, you've got first and goal from inside the three-yard line. Don't you run three, four times with Chubb or Hunt? Well, he throws passes. And it's just because we're going to surprise you. No, you don't surprise a guy. I'm going to knock the you-know-what out of you because you're across from me on the line of scrimmage, and my guy's going to run and score behind me. That's the mentality you have to have. And some of this is just bizarre. House of Cards is a very, very good analogy because, sadly, right now, that's what it looks like.
Mark Munch Bishop, he is iHeart. He's out of TAM and doing all sorts of things and out on the Facebook and the Twitter thing and the social media places and all that stuff. And this is my last cheap shot at you. Just don't say the I word. Don't say the I word. Guardians. You'll be talking Guardians baseball, right?
Yes, I'll be the host of Guardians Game Day, my friend. 162 pre-game shows, and I'll be your guy.
Really? Guardians Game Day? You know what? Listen, with the Washington football team here, we've had to get the R out, so we're trying to, like, you know, work our way through this. I'm new age. I'm willing to come out. I might be out in Tremont for some breakfast 2 weeks from now, Munch. I'll be looking you up.
Where are you going to go, Grumpy's or the Raleigh Inn?
Lucky's. Is that sound
Lucky's
right?
Lucky's is very, very good, yeah. Raleigh Inn is right across from the Christmas Story House, and they actually have a kielbasa breakfast, which is not on my diet anymore. Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So you'll be in. When are you coming in for that next game, Friday or Saturday?
It'll be Saturday.
Okay. So you'll go Sunday then for breakfast.
I hope so.
Okay. The Jen Strong coming in with you?
I would go twice. So Jen Strong's holidaying with her family in New Hampshire. She'll be colder than I will be.
Okay, well, shoot me a text. Okay, I'd love to see you.
You got it. Munch, I appreciate you, brother, and I appreciate
you're
you
the best, bro.
Giving
love
me early name. Morning text on Monday morning after the game and like all that. And I'm sorry I didn't get with you last week prior to the game, but I might find you next week before the next game, all right?
And same with you for the next game, all right?
You got it. Munch Bishop joining us here from the land of Cleve and the Christmas Story House. You'll shoot your eye out. I'll tell you what, on Friday, we're going to be at Pappas's up in Cockeysville. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. It is a Maryland Crab Cake Tour, the Pappas Crab Cake on the menu for me. We had the delicious Conrad Crab Cake up in Abingdon on Friday. We had Coco's 2 weeks ago, so I get crab on my mind. Shipping for our friends at Costas and our friends at Fadley's. Compare, contrast. They even ship them to Ohio to soothe the souls of the Ohio State fans as well as the Brownie fans, as well as LeBron fans, too. Everybody loves a crab cake, so make sure you're doing that. The Crab Cake Tour comes to Catonsville on the 9th, kicking off my 30th anniversary with our friends at the Beaumont. I am Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570, having wise conversations and never stopping talking. Baltimore positive.